do you think that plays in the whole yang yin thing? Do you think that plays in with the fact that you know you've got two practices, six chiropractic, like a sense of overwhelm, or does that?
I have to watch out for that too, because I would have said, and this is a new realization for me too, that again that I've managed my stress really well. Because it's not often that I get to a 8 or above stress wise. But what I had to realise is that there's probably always 3.
Yeah.
Like it's always, and I didn't realise that until a little while ago. I went, oh.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast. We're leading a healthcare revolution by showing natural health and fitness experts how to become community influencers so they can build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, easily actionable expert branding and heart-centered marketing strategies so you can flood your practice with high-quality patients, building a healthier and happier community. And now your hosts, Angus Pike and Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice show. We've got an injured Tony here. If you're not watching this on video, then head on over where the video is, because Tony and his excitement here just whacked his ulnar nerve, the funny bone. Not all that funny, but it is for me. Just watching it now. We got a slightly different episode that we're going to go through today. So when we're making videos, early on in the podcast, we talked about there being two different kinds of videos. We think about two kind of buckets. That the vast majority of the videos that you should be making have the goal of helping to move your patients, your potential patients, your community, one step closer to a health outcome that they want. Now, the reason we're doing this is to build massive amounts of trust and goodwill, to help to position ourselves as an authority, an expert, all those kind of great things as well. Help people on that buyer's journey through the buyer cycle through there as well. Now, the second type of video that you should be making are really all videos about you. And they look a little bit different, but they're an opportunity for your audience to get to know more of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason we want to do that too is that we want to... Healthcare has changed a lot. In the 1950s, you know, the local community doctor sat just to the left-hand side of God. You didn't question them back in any way. What they said went. Things have changed enormously in healthcare now. No longer is this a paternal relationship there as well. It's a partnership. And our audience wants to get to know us. They want to like us and they want to trust us. And in order for somebody to know and like you, they need to know more about you. Now, this could be just as simple as sharing what you're doing with your family. I'm out for a bushwalk. You know, for instance, on the weekend just gone over Easter, I don't know when this will come out, we were with my wife's Nana and we were having a walk through the bush, and that was what Lauren put up on an Instagram. We introduced her audience to her Nana and we got to see about all those kind of things. So, today, in the spirit of that, Tony and I are going to share a little bit about us, what our challenges are at the moment, with the idea of you getting to know a little bit more about us as well. So what's going on in our life, all those kind of things there too. So I'm going to start with Tony. He'll lead the way. He's had some big changes going on in his life at the moment, particularly with regards to your living arrangements.
Exactly. So it's been a long time. For those that know anything about my past, I've been living by myself with my three children, that is, for the past 7 years. And it's very easy to get into the mold, I guess, of just having to worry about yourself and your children, being the number one decision maker of the household when it comes to most things. And really, I guess, to a point, not really taking much notice or care of certain aspects of a home. And, well, just recently, my partner's moved in with me and... as I was saying, Angus, all of a sudden, I now realise that I had a distinct lack of pillows on my bed. There's now a lot for everyone, so if you were coming out, there's plenty of pillows on my bed now.
Yes.
And all these, you know, these new things that are happening in my home or in our home, which is both exciting, but it's also, I find it quite amusing. From all the things like, I can't believe I lived with that like that for so long, and I can't believe that I didn't do that for 7 years, etc., etc.
You know what? Because Darcy moving in with you is a great example of how quickly things can change in our life. You know, so wherever you are at the moment, in your practice, in your relationships, in your life, in your health, because not 6.5 months ago, Darcy didn't even exist to you. Like, you know, this is how quickly this relationship has come and, you know, developed to the stage where you feel comfortable that, you know, the timing was all that right as well. But it's a good...
It is a good lesson, isn't it? And, and I think for me, it's just that being open. You know, just being open to possibility and not, you know, because for many, many years since I separated from my ex-wife, the mother of my children, Michaela, I haven't been ready to be open to it. There's always been an excuse, or it's always been the kids first, and, you know, prioritized my time with the kids over having love in my life. And so, you know, there's been some relationships, of course, but, you know.
And that's something you'd actually often said to me, is that, look, you know, the hierarchy had always been kids, Adio Media, then, you know, whomever it was that you were dating at the time there too. And it's not a wonder and not a surprise that that often didn't work.
Clearly wasn't a good strategy, you know.
Yes.
It's clearly not a good strategy. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And what I really find the most beautiful is that the sense of in myself that I'm ready.
Yeah.
And that sense in myself that I'm ready to give of myself enough and to be vulnerable enough to love someone and be loved.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the beautiful things, is that being... you know, I guess putting that wall up and being resistant has led to not being loved well in that manner or fully. And so it's a beautiful thing, but it's a new thing. So there's lots of things to learn and lots of things to go through and decisions that need to be partnered and all these different things that have to happen. And why I need 7 pillows on my bed, I still can't get over. But hey, I'm willing to learn and willing to go with it.
Yes. We had dinner together, the four of us, Tony and Darcy and Lauren and myself the other night, of which as Darcy left talking with Lauren, she said she needs to a woman's touch to your kitchen as well. So all these different things that come apart, come with that, also interesting. But it is, you know, life can and does change. I was talking to you about, I'm really loving Paul Check's podcast at the moment, and he was talking about a Buddha quote there. The Buddha says the only constant in life is change. Like, and so, you know, with where you are at the moment, if things aren't feeling great, if they're not where you want them to be, then hold on, you know. Things can change really, really quickly. You know, to think that, you know, we'd had, and you and I had lots of conversations about, you know, partnerships and all that kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, it just came and happened so naturally and organically with you and Darcy as well. I think about the same thing with my sister Meg as well, that, you know, similar thing. All of a sudden, here, engaged. These kind of things can happen. The same with our practice.
It's the same with any aspect, isn't it? You know,
life there too. I think, you know, as I'm thinking about it too, you know, the only constant is change, and also, you know, be open to it. You know, as that change is knocking on our door, giving us opportunities to, you know, to shift and change.
I think also for me, it's been that sense of self-responsibility of saying, you know, what's the outcome that's been happening? How can I take responsibility for that?
Yes.
Rather, because it could have been easy to say, you know, there's no single women out there, or, you know, all the women I'm meeting are this, that, and the other. And it's like, no, okay, what am I projecting? What am I putting out? What am I being resistant to? And having that self-reflection and introspection has been, I think, awesome, and part of the reason why we have met and gone,
Because sometimes there are... there are good stories that justify our behavior. I love this word. One of my favorite words of the last 5 years is confabulation. Have I talked about confabulation?
No, I haven't.
Confabulations is the stories that we make up to justify our behavior.
Yeah, got it.
So a confabulation would be, look, hey man, I've got to put my kids in work first.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's about. Now I'm single dad, you know, majority caregiver of the kids, all that kind of stuff there too. But you can then, you know, that was a story that justified, you know, because it's not an either or situation.
No. But I guess that can be okay if you're willing to accept and be happy with the outcome that will bring.
Yeah.
You know, but if there's a disconnect between, I want love, yet I'm not prioritizing it, then hey.
And that, you know, we've talked about this too, and certainly, you know, last year was a year for me where one of my mantras was, what do I think is true that's not true?
Yes.
And then the flip side of that too, what do I think that's not true that could actually be true as well? And, you know, and that idea of, you know, that I have to put my kids first. And so many of these things, we have so many cognitive biases of, it's so hard to see them. And I think other people probably see them in us really clearly there too, but it's very hard for us to see them as in ourselves.
There's certainly a story that was saying, I'm telling myself I'm putting my kids first to not experience the vulnerability and the hurt and the disappointment and all those things that came with a failed relationship, et cetera, et cetera. So, interesting.
And there's benefits that go along with that because, of course, like, what a great dad I am.
Self-righteousness.
And you are a great dad. I've told you that numerous times. I admire, you know, the kind of person you are as a dad as well. So let's keep talking about you, dude, the other big thing going on in your life.
Well, at the moment, for those that don't know, and even those that do, I stepped out of practice 2.5 years ago.
Mm.
20 years in practice, got to the point, well, almost 20, it was 18 at the time, or 19, and then whatever, and then just got to the point where I love having my hands on people, but I just was getting over everything else that went along with it, and I just thought, what? I need to just take a break, and so I jumped off the cliff without knowing where I was going to land. There was no plan B, I didn't know whether it was going to be for 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, or forever. And it's been 2.5 years, and it's been great. And it enabled me to experience other things and take on other roles, responsibilities, etc. Look after the kids more. Yep. I didn't have a nanny coming in three days a week, etc. So it was great to do that. And just having that little inkling of wanting to get back into practice. And how does that look? And so I'm sitting with at the moment, what does that look like?
Mm.
Does it look like a full practice with staff, et cetera? Does it look like a one-man show? I guess one of the beauties is that I get to write that script now. And although, it's a little bit daunting, but I get to write it.
Yeah, you know? So the urges come back up. You found a great little property in around the corner. Yeah. That's what kind of started it?
It did. I just was driving past a property that said full lease. I went, do you know what? That'd be amazing. Walking distance from my house. It'd be nice and easy. I know the community, I didn't get the property, but...
I see, I haven't heard that yet.
Got an email this week saying no.
Right.
But that's okay. You know, it's next because it sparked something in me to follow through. So now it's a matter of following through.
And what do you think is different this time round? Like having had... you know, because one of the things that we don't do great, and again, we talked in a previous episode how shitty you are at taking holidays.
Yeah.
And so you end up in this overwhelming burnout. I do, and I don't take them, which is why I'm much better than the two. So not suggesting that was. But what are you going to do different this time round going back into practice, if you do, than how it was beforehand?
Yeah, well, I think I'll try and minimise all the things that I don't necessarily come naturally to me in practice, i.e. being, you know, the business hat on doesn't come naturally. I guess naturally I'm a caregiver. And so I'm going to try and minimise all that.
Mm.
You know, take a lot of that out of the system where I can automate a lot of that stuff, where I can just be really focused more on where my skill set lies, which is just, is looking after people, connecting with people. So I think that'd be the biggest thing.
Yeah. Well, it seemed to, I don't know, for our conversation, not to put words in your mouth, but, you know, the practice certainly that you left in Adelaide was one of the busier practices in Australia. Like, you were seeing a lot of people, but with a lot of people comes multiple staff, all those kind of things there too. And into what this new model that we talked about too, all of a sudden it's very low overhead. Ease as well. So in many ways ends up often being a lot more profitable. But there was an ease about this practice as opposed to, you know, and I've been guilty of this as well. And we'll talk about me in terms of the phase, some of the stuff that's going on, you know, having to create everything. Again, I'm going to just create this beautiful little profitable, effective, you know, a place that can work with one doctor, you.
A bit more boutique-y, I guess it may be a word that might describe it.
Yeah.
A bit more boutique-y.
And so where are you up to with that now then? Now that
I've got a couple of agents on the look for me for a property. So it'll be, whether I stumble across something and looking online or whether one of these agents can source me a property.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, interesting stuff.
Well, very interesting.
We'll
watch this space, folks. I will share what's going on and let you know.
We can have regular updates on how the pillow situation is going.
Yeah.
In your bed.
Can't see that changing much, but look, I'm embracing. I'm happy with that.
Multiple pillows. Yeah, I gave up on that. Have you started to get multiple pillows on your couch yet?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Pillows everywhere.
Yeah, it's pillows everywhere. It's pillow city.
Yeah.
But... yeah. Let's move on to you, buddy, because you've had, speaking of pillows, it's irrelevant to what we're going to talk about with you.
I was working out. I'm going to have pillows into it. What's happening?
Tell us about your challenge with your health, buddy.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because we talk about lots of these different stuff there too. You know, the irony of a chiropractor having a shitty back.
Mm.
It was a number of years. It must be kind of 7 or 8 years ago now.
Yeah, it was when I was practicing here with you. Yeah,
before that too. You know, slightly obsessed with CrossFit at the time there too, but I was obsessed with the CrossFit other than the mobility side of CrossFit. Doing all the stuff other than kind of the things that I knew I should have, and was swinging some heavy kettlebells.
Your overhead squat was here.
Yeah, well, I got there in the end. It took me a long time, but there was... But the end result of swinging some heavy kettlebells was, you know, I thought, oh, man.
Oh, that's right. It was before the Kirby incident, wasn't it?
Oh, Kirby kicked me. Right. That's why I cracked it with it, yes. Because I got to a stage where I had literally pain-free the first time in months until Kirby decided to come and kick me. Did she kick me or knee me in the back?
I had a something.
Something. Yeah, I let fly at it, though. It wasn't the most. Another story there, too. But it's interesting because that brought up a whole bunch of things in terms of what it's like to be a chiropractor with a sore back, particularly when I felt like I had a real skill set at helping people with that. Like, I'm good with that stuff. We have a wellness practice, but I love looking after people with back pain. I'm totally okay with that and good at it. And then to have, you know, what progressed over 2 years after that is of a constantly numb right leg, you know, in terms of changes in sensation. And when it, along with the numbness, the irony of it too, is the pain that I had in my hamstring that I often felt like someone had poured hot water down the back of my leg there, where I'd go home on a Thursday night and have to lie on the couch until Sunday there, and then I could get back to work again and pretend everything was okay with patients through the following Thursday. And it wasn't until I kind of realized, you know, having a couple of weeks off at Christmas time that, you know, that one of the worst things I was doing for my back was bending over people day in and day out. It's like, oof. You know, that's what really led to me taking some time off, which was a big key part in us really taking what was then Chiropractic Masterclass into audio. We could perhaps talk more about that another stage there. Mm-hmm. I had some time. We had some time there together to get all that kind of started there too. But it's interesting because that and transitioning from that bulletproof phase, which, you know, I see so many people in up into their mid-30s are bulletproof. And I felt like I was bulletproof. I'd always exercised a lot, probably too much in many ways, or certainly not with balance.
Yes.
You know, there was a lot of yang, but not a lot of yin, that stretching, yoga, peaceful type sort of stuff there as well. You know, has meant even now that's something I need to be aware of. And the other side of that too, I became obsessed with that Tim Ferriss biohacking self-measurement. How do I manage my stress? I don't have it on now, but some of you might have seen that, you know, an Oura Ring, which tracks my sleep, constant heart rate variability, you know, my Apple Watch as well, all those kind of things of self-quantification. And I had this realization, even just recently, that the level of stress and anxiety I had around closing the frickin' rings on my watch, and I would wake up each morning, sync my ring to my phone, and I would let that tell me how I was going to feel the day ahead. I said, Angus, you've had a great night's sleep, you're going to have lots of energy for the day. Or Angus, you've had a lousy night's sleep, you know, go slow and take it easy. That, you know, this... instead of those being tools to help me to take care of myself, they became a rod for me, because the idea of, you know, I've got lots of beautiful watches, but I didn't want to wear them because I didn't want to break the run streak that I'd had with how many days straight.
So funny.
It was very interesting for me to then go, right, off, you know,
because it even got to the point where you challenged me and said, hey dude, let's communicate so that I know when you've closed your rings. So it became a competition between Angus and I, to the point it's like, oh, hang on, I better do that, because otherwise Angus will know that I'm not and Tony will know that I haven't done that. And it's
and so I'm trying to find the balance. So it's kind of I feel like an alcoholic to some extent. Where I haven't found
the level. Abstinence for a while.
Yeah, it's like, no, I can't just go back into the pub and have a couple of drinks because I'll get back on it there too. But it's interesting. I tend to often try and have themes in around my year. And this has been part of a theme around my year of, you know, what does my gut tell me is okay? How much exercise is okay? And, you know, and I'm even really doing it with my eating at the moment. Like when I eat that food and sitting down afterwards and go, how does it make me feel? You know, what foods do I eat? And, you know, we had a beautiful curry the other night for dinner But I felt so incredibly full afterwards. You know, there was good food. I mean, you know, my gorgeous wife, Lauren, doesn't let anything that's not organic and gluten-free and fabulous come into our house, which is terrific there too. But even the notice, the awareness that, sometimes I have these foods here and I finish eating and I feel light and great, and then other
times... But hang on, the book says that I should feel great.
Yeah, yeah, inside of these kind of ideas of that too. And, you know, then along with that too of, you know, we talked about kind of into new wives. Lauren and I have been married now, well, more than six. We're coming up to 12 months in August there too. And, you know, wanting to two beautiful kids from a first marriage and then, you know, starting again. It's like, all right, I've got to, I want to be vital for this. You know, at 44 years of age, I want to make sure that I've got energy to give my next children the same that I gave Ed and Mackenzie in that terms of capacity to kind of play with them and stuff like that too. But it's been that real shift from, you know, getting back into, you know, when I, again, I talk about that yin side of things.
Well, you mentioned the other day, what was the number one thing that helped you with your lower back?
Yeah, meditation.
Yeah, I just think that's so fantastic, isn't it? And it's the ultimate of yin, slow down. You know,
very interesting, because it came about by complete accident, because there was a time there when my back was at its worst that I could get about 80 meters of walking before it was like,
that's not far.
No, it's not, it doesn't allow you to do a lot in life that's not. And, you know, at that stage there, I wouldn't allow myself to take any painkillers because that would be sacrilege as a chiropractor.
Stories we tell.
The stories. Yeah. What am I telling myself? That's, you know, and I'm, you know, but it was interesting because I was sitting down meditating, and somewhere in the meditation there was something guided that I realized that there were two things going on. There was the pain, and then there was my resistance to the pain. So there was the actual thing that was happening in my back, and then there was this other side of me that was saying, fuck, I wish this wasn't there. And that what I noticed is that when I let go of the fuck, I wish this wasn't there, then there was an instantaneous drop in maybe even 60% of the pain.
Wow.
Like well over half. Like, and instant there too, and it kind of came and went. Well, that's very interesting, and I kind of ignored it, and then kind of went back to it. When it, you know, and after, you know, not long, weeks of just practicing that too, I could down-regulate the pain with meditation by 60 to 80% by just doing that. All I would do is connect and let go of the need for it to have to be any different.
Got it. You know, so the story you're telling yourself that it shouldn't be this way. I'm a chiropractor. I'm this, I'm that.
And
that,
it didn't even have to be that. Because, you know, there's that Buddhist saying, that is pain is inevitable, suffering isn't.
Yes, it's the suffering from the pain.
So, and it was it was just letting go that things had to be any different than the way, which was a little bit of kind of Byron Katie's stuff there as well.
Loving what is,
It's just what it is.
Yeah.
This is so, as opposed to me trying to ignore the pain, you know, there's always that level of mindfulness to just feel it. Like, what is it? Just feel it. It doesn't have to be any different.
Yep.
You know, the fact is it hurts, your leg hurts, that kind of stuff there too. And what if it weren't meant to be any different than what it is at the moment? And the irony of is that settling in and not expecting it to be any different was a fabulous way to decrease the pain.
Great
which
lesson.
Was pretty nuts about all of that too. And
where is it now? Where's your back at now?
Well, as we sit, you know, I go through times. I mean, I think I told you 2 or 3 weeks ago, you know, I kind of have a shit week with it there too. But as we sit here now, I mean, I've been running the last few weeks. I've got further into running than I ever have for a long time without it there too. So fabulous. But it's a barometer for me in terms of how I'm behaving with my life as well. So, you know, back in training at a level that I haven't been able to consistently with a long time as well. But I'm, you know, it's really interesting too, because the other side of things with anything is, you know, is the story around kind of having a cranky sore back as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, I'll find myself going, oh, I don't want to do that because that'll aggravate my back. Go, I wonder how much of that is placebo.
Just the story.
I talk myself into
as
opposed to like, oh, no, and I'm good with that. That's okay. My body's strong, healthy, vital, you know, and all those kind of things there too. But it's an interesting story for me as a chiropractor, because it does bring in lots of levels of self-worth as well. Because, hang on, I'm meant to help people with this kind of stuff, and why can't I help myself? And does chiropractic therefore not work, and all those kind of interesting things there as well, that it's kind of brought up for me.
And so does that play, do you think that plays in the whole yang yin thing? Do you think that plays in with the fact that you know, you've got two practices, six chiropractic, like a sense of overwhelm, or does that?
I have to watch out for that too, because I would have said, and this is a new realization for me too, that again, that I'd manage my stress really well. Because it's not often that I get to a 8 or above stress-wise. But what I had to realize is that there's probably always 3.
Yeah.
Like it's always, and I went, and I didn't realize that until a little while ago, that I went, like how do I, like always at some stage. And so that's, you know, as Tony said, between this practice and Lauren's practice, you know, 6 chiropractors, multiple other staff there as well. What I'm realizing is that I need some new skill sets, because I can't keep on going. The current skill set and the way that I manage these practices can't go on with continual growth, because there's not enough of me, not enough hours in the day, and I don't want that stress to kind of get above that as well. And so it's, you know, I feel like a lot of my next part of my journey in terms of my reading and my study really isn't about systematizing these kind of things there too, because you can't. I remember, and there was a Richard Branson interview, and he was talking about at the time what it was like the first time he got sued, and how terrible it was and overwhelming and all-consuming. And he says, as I sit here right now during this interview, he says, I've probably got somewhere between 10 and 20 lawsuits happening, and I don't care about any of them.
Yes.
Because he's learned how to manage that. He has people that manage that. It's not, he's got lawyers who he pays for, all that kind of stuff there too. And you might be saying, well, as Richard Branson, that. But they're, you know.
Same principles.
It's the same principles inside of it, that, you know, the skills that get you to where you are now are not going to be the skills that get you to where you need to be, you know, as well as we move forwards there too. And so that's a big journey for me with these practices moving forwards in there too, because, you know, universe allowing, then, you know, Lauren and I will start with the family sometime in the coming 12 months, which means she is the major chiropractor who's going to come out, and we want to, and part of that plan is too, you know, in a couple of years' time, we want to have 12 months living in Italy. So there's that impending coming onto us as well, which is, how do we make that, how do I do that?
Yep.
How do I have audio media, which we set up both of us very clearly from the start, that this was location independent. We could do this from anywhere in the world, that kind of stuff there too. But how do I have these practices be able to run independent of Lauren and I too? And is the next phase of learning as we go forwards there too. So,
Exciting.
Very exciting. Fascinating times ahead there too. So, maybe fascinating.
Maybe, look, that might have been as boring as batshit for all our listeners to have that little, you know, indulgence into our lives.
It may well be just Graham and Sue, Ian and Judy, our parents that are all listening now. I didn't realise that stuff was going on for you guys. Oh. Thanks for sharing. So,
well, if you have liked it, let us know, and, you know, we'll do more.
If you're interested.
We've got more issues to divulge, don't worry.
There's plenty there.
But look, it's been good. I've enjoyed that.
Yeah.
You know, nice little chat. So, you know, again, get over to iTunes. Let us know. Give us a rating. We'd love to know your thoughts, your ideas, etc. Always jump on the web. Look at other episodes, audiomedia.com/podcast. Or if you want to join us live August 24, 25, then jump on audiomedia.com/live and learn about the Community Influencer Live program, which is a program Angus and I are really passionate. Yeah, really passionate about sharing information that's going to help you become the leader in your community that you want to be, or you really need to be, and you deserve to be. You've got this wisdom, and your community is dying for you to be this leader. So come and learn how to upskill, how to be that community influencer. We've got some awesome speakers. It'll be a great 2-day event for people to come and learn, share, and grow. So, audiomedia.com/live.
Keep saving lives, gang.
Later.
Love you lots. Bye.
You've been listening to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. For more information, please visit www.adiomedia.com.